Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 3. This morning we'll be reading responsively verses 12 all the way through the end of the chapter, verse number 21. I'll read verse number 12. You'll join me on verse number 13 all the way through verse number 21. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse number 12, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord, as we reflect back on the years that you've had your hand upon this place. Lord, it's been exciting to hear the stories, Lord, to see the lives, that living testament, Lord, of your power, Lord, of your ability to change lives and to work miracles. Lord, we don't want the last 8 years to end today, though, Lord. We want today to be a springboard, Lord, that will lead us to do greater things for you. Lord, as we listen to the truth that has been prepared by your man this morning, Lord, may it speak to our hearts. Lord, may we be yielded to you. Lord, may we listen with the intent, Lord, of not just hearing, but taking what's been taught and applying it to our lives today, so that way we can do more for you. We ask that your Spirit be present, that we be yielded to it. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Here in Ephesians chapter 3, I'll catch my breath in a second here. I want you to keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them today, so lick your finger or lick somebody else's finger. I don't care. Just don't pick your nose with it after you licked it, all right? 8 years ago today, we started Grace Baptist Church. But may I say it this way, we started the Grace Baptist Church family. When Jesus started the first church, it was not primarily a place to go meet with God. It was not a place primarily to preach the gospel and people to get saved. We are supposed to do and can do all of those things outside of the church. So that wasn't the main purpose of the church. Church was not to be a place of worship. That is to be done in private. There's no such thing as a public worship service anywhere in the Bible. Worship is you loving on God and telling God how wonderful and how great and how marvelous and how unbelievable he really is. It's loving on God. You see, it was not supposed to be a successor to temple worship. The church was started by Jesus so that God's people could get together and have family to encourage each other and be stronger. That was the purpose of the church. The church was to be as close, or at times closer, than biological families. This is why we call each other brother or sister at church. You say, "Why? Yeah, that sounds weird, preacher." It only sounds weird to those who haven't been in the church. When I see my earthly brother, I don't go to him and say, "Oh, thou most older brother of mine." You say, "Why?" Because it's just my brother. When we go to my mom and dad's house and we're there and my kids are there and my brother and his family is there, we don't bow before dad and say, "Oh, thou, O most holy God." Ain't no way. He might look like Buddha. No, never mind. You say, why? Because we're part of a family unit, and we're part of the same family unit. This is God's house. There's a man, that's me, appointed by God, to take God's words and to teach us how to live. Listen to me very carefully. I don't speak ex cathedra in the place of God. And by the way, anybody that calls him God doesn't know him. That's man trying to impress you. Matter of fact, he said, when you talk to me, just call me Father. Not me to him, all right? I'm only father to three, okay? That one, his brother, and his sister. That's it. Just as people are related biologically, all those who are saved are to be part of the spiritual family because we're related by God's genetics biologically. You see, God uses the church as a spiritual family. I don't think it's wrong to say our Grace Baptist family. A church and a family are very similar things. You see, when you join the church, you join the family. Let me illustrate. Let's see here. Josh and Ruth Ann started dating many, many years ago. What year did you start dating? I better ask her. She doesn't know. It's been so long, she doesn't care. Yeah. 2000 what? 12. So that's 8 years ago. Okay. I can do the math real fast if you can tell me the date. You've been married 5 years now? 6 years? 7 years? 6 years, yeah. Okay, you're in trouble for sure. But I remember they started dating, and we went to Kentucky to college to be with Josh, and he said, "Dad, I want you to meet girl I started dating." I said, "Sure, no problem." And we showed up and we saw him in chapel, sat with him in chapel, got introduced, and Josh in his infinite wisdom said, "You're gonna take us take we were planning on taking him to dinner that evening," and Josh comes out and says, I said, "Josh, are you gonna change? You had work clothes on." He said, "Oh, I gotta go to work, Dad. You're taking Ruth Ann, see you later," and he left. I thought, this poor girl, she doesn't know what she's getting into, because we had Jeff and Mindy with us, and that's enough to chase anybody away. And I, my wife and daughter talked to Ruth Ann and said, "Look, you don't have to go. That's pretty awkward. Josh should have never done this. When I catch him, I'm going to kill him." But God bless her, she decided to go. Can you imagine going out and sitting at a table with total strangers, especially as strange as we are sometimes? And we went to Cracker Barrel, and we told her, "Don't date him anymore. If he's going to do this, don't." I'm serious. You can ask her. I said that very thing to her. But she didn't listen to me. We visited, and she visited, and eventually they got married. And may I say this? She was visiting our family, but she became part of the family when she got married. By the way, she's not my daughter-in-law. She's my daughter. She's as much my daughter as Melinda is. And I believe that. Now listen to me. When we join the church, we enter part of a family. May I say something? God called us the bride of Christ as a church. There is no such thing as one universal church. The word church is called out assembly. Not all the Christians are called out in one place to assemble. Therefore, it's the local church, the local churching. So each family, each church family, is supposed to be its own individual group, so to speak. Some of us are closer to church family than we are biological family. Please don't take this the wrong way, and I love my brother, my sister-in-law, and his children. but they live in Florida and Colorado and other places. May I say this? I'm closer to you and your family than even my own brother and his family. That's not critical. It's just the way life happens. Now, wait a minute. Some of us in this church only have church family. Some of you, your family's passed away or you've moved away, and this is all you have for family. By the way, you don't have to be crazy to be here, but it does help. But please take your medicine. All right? Some only have the church as family. May I say this as we celebrate our 8th anniversary? Let's look at the role of family and church in the scripture. God says in Ephesians 3:15, of whom the whole family, watch this, in heaven and earth is named. God talks about a family in heaven, and he talks about a family on earth. And that it is named after that which is in heaven, which is God the Father. Now, number one, the church family is named after the family in heaven. The word family here in the Greek is the word patria. You would know it in the Old Testament, or an Old Testament word, patriarch. Patria, a patriarchal thing. Abraham was the patriarch of Israel. Well, he wasn't the only leader. You had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then all their sons. But until Abraham died, he was the leader of the Israelite family, so to speak. It wasn't just one family. It was multiple families and extended families. And you talk about a family reunion, it was a big one. There were many thousands and thousands and thousands that the patriarch would lead. Now, I say that to say this. God says that heaven will be like a family. Just a couple weeks ago, Brother Fred went to heaven. He had a family on earth. It was called Grace Baptist Church. But he found a new family in heaven. Oh, he's getting acquainted with some of maybe his former loved ones who have gone before him, but all of heaven is one big family. I can't wait till they get there. I have a sneaking suspicion. Fred looked up a man named Brother Hiles just to find out what makes me tick. And he found somebody wound up more than him. God says that heaven will be a family. God also says that the church is to be like a family. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. I told you you're going to use your Bibles a little bit, so hang on here. Psalm 68. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, God setteth the solitary in families. Do you know what solitary means? By yourself. God says, I'll set those that are by themselves in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Look at Psalm 107. Just a few pages over, Psalm 107. We're going to look at verse number 41. Psalm 107, verse number 41. The Bible says this. One more page. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. Now wait a minute, like a flock? What does God call a Christian in the Bible? Calls him what kind of animal? A sheep. Yeah, not a donkey, a sheep. All right. He said he setteth us in families like a flock. Matter of fact, Jesus said to Peter in John chapter 21, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe, verse 1, it says, feed the flock. In other words, God is talking about the church being a family. God is our Father, and we are all related by his blood, not our blood.
That's right.
Now listen to me very carefully. Joining Grace Baptist Church is like joining a family. Oh, it's something that you don't just slide in and do, but I believe that we ought to join the family. Now, point number two. Don't worry, it will slow down here in a moment. Those who are saved are God's children. May I say something here? This is going to prick some people that don't know Scripture, and I'll show you the Scripture to back it up. Not everybody alive is God's child.
That's right.
Hate to disappoint you. Everybody breathing on the face of the earth is not God's child. They may be a creation of God, but they are not God's children.
Right.
Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 9. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 9. The Bible says this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the what? Children of God. Guess what? Those that aren't peacemakers, according to Scripture, aren't children of God. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Told you, lick your finger. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 16. Now, I need you to follow with me very closely here. The Spirit, notice the capital S there? That's the Holy Spirit, right? That's God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit, or the Spirit itself, beareth witness with our spirit, small s. Watch this. That we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that you suffer, your sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly by reason of him who hath subjected the same hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now notice something. It has to be his spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what John chapter 3 is all about with Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not going back inside my mama's belly and getting born. I am way too big. She don't want it, neither do I. And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that creates a birth with our dead spirit. The spirit of man is what gets born again. Not his body, not his soul, but his spirit. Now watch this. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians is right before the book of Ephesians where we started. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 26. The Bible says this. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you be in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Guess what? That says this. We are all one. We are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That means this. Those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior are the children of God. 1 John chapter 5, you need not turn there. I'll get there very quickly. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 2 says this. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God. Ooh, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. By the way, how do you get born of God? You get born again.
That's right.
You see, you can be born of man or born of woman, but not born of God. And if you're not born of God, you're not born again. Therefore, you are not born of God. It is not everybody, well, we're just all God's children. That's a lie. You see, when we get saved, we get born again into the family of God. Now watch this. That makes us all children of God. Before we are saved, before we trust Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that we are a child of the devil.
Right.
Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'm not using my words. I'll use God's words. Amen? So don't get mad at me. He wrote them. I'm just reading them to you. John chapter 8, look at verse number 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, part of the family, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? For ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. Wow. Those are the words of Jesus Christ himself. He said, if you were born of God, what I say wouldn't be foreign to you. So if it's foreign to you, it must be because you're not born of God and you are of your father, the devil. You think I'm a rough preacher? Look Jesus Christ in the face and listen to him preach that. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 15. Let me turn there very quickly. Matthew 23, verse number 15. I'm almost there. There we go. One more page. Matthew 23, 15. Woe, this is Jesus speaking, unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. For you compass the sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you have made him a twofold more the child of hell than of yourselves. A twofold child of hell. That's getting pretty serious. Acts chapter 13, verse number 10. Let me read another verse to you. Acts 13, verse number 10. And if you can't get there, just hold on tight. I'll read it to you. I have the King James Bible, the only one God ever wrote. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cause to pervert the right ways of the Lord? That doesn't sound like a child of God, does it? Talks about being a child of the devil. So this thing of everybody is a child of God is a bunch of liberal garbage.
Right. Amen.
Well, all love is love. Puke. God says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
I hate to disappoint you. The society of today doesn't love God.
That's right.
Sodomy is sin.
Amen.
It's filthy, it's vile, it's not love, it's lust.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? I'm about to get wound up. Can you tell? Well, we ought to accept everybody. Oh, I'll witness to everybody, but I don't have to accept how they live. I'm not against any person because of the color of their skin. Red and yellow, black and white, I'm colorblind, so it doesn't matter to me at all. Brother Jackson was here last week. He was a black man. I don't know that anybody thought twice about what the color of his skin was. Did you? I didn't. Did you? Say why? Because he's a man sent from God, and he's a man of God. Who gives a flip what color his skin is? And I don't give a flip what color anybody's skin is. You don't make decisions based on the color of somebody's skin.
That's right, sir.
But I hate to tell you something. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
That's right. Amen.
God wasn't confused. He said he made man and made woman. There was nothing in between.
That's right.
God didn't say there is a there are 17 categories in between. No. God made man. God made woman.
Amen.
That's it. Say, well, how do we know, preacher? Plumbing.
That's right.
If you can't figure that out, we'll take you to the barn and teach you some things.
Amen.
It's real simple. You don't put two bulls in a pen and them do what the sodomites do today.
That's right.
Now, they'll push and shove and fight. They'll wrestle around to see who's the bigger bull, but that's it. Somebody says, oh, that's such a good-looking man. I ain't never seen no good-looking man in my life. And the day I do, take me out back and shoot me with my own gun. Ain't nothing uglier than a man. And any man that gets tingly looking at another man just needs the snot beat out of him. Now, I don't think that you ought to do it just because they say that, but I think every man ought to want to beat the snot out of somebody like that.
Amen.
And why in the world would a woman want to look like a man?
Amen.
God made you beautiful. Why do you want to mess that thing up with ugliness?
Right.
And then you got the ones that are half man, half woman. They can't figure out what they are. Folks, can I tell you what will fix that? Get saved.
Amen.
Become a child of God.
Well, we ought to just love everybody.
Do you know what Jesus did on Palm Sunday? They laid the palm fronds. Oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, King of the Jews. Do you know what he did when he got into town? He sat on a bench outside the temple and made a cat of nine tails. And walked in and kicked over the tables of the money changers and said, you bunch of vipers, bunch of whited sepulchers, you're white on the outside and full of dead men's bones. And he started preaching the snot out of them. By the way, 3 days later, they crucified him. Say, well, it wasn't 3 days later. Yeah, it was 3 days later. You don't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday.
That's right.
Hate to disappoint you. Now, wait a minute. God says a twofold child of hell. Those are God's words, not my words. When you are not saved, you are of your father, the devil, the Bible says. And by the way, we're all born a child of the devil.
Right.
Did you know you don't have to teach a child to lie?
Right.
They do it naturally.
Right.
The greatest sin and the biggest sin of a child, and usually the first sin of a child, is that of lying. Say why? Because the Bible says they come forth out of the womb speaking lies.
Yep.
Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because at 2 o'clock in the morning when that puppy starts screaming and you think it's dying, it just wants attention.
Yep.
It ain't hungry. It doesn't need changed. Is all it needs is attention. But you think it's going to die. They come forth out of the womb speaking lies. What's the most famous statement from a child? I didn't do it. They're the only one in the house, but they didn't do it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You don't have to teach a child to lie. Say why? Because it is born in us because we're all sinners. We come forth lying. By the way, the hardest sin to conquer in your own life as an adult is to quit lying. Most of you lie to yourself so much you believe your own lies. Oh, I'm not that bad. Oh, I'm better than that. No, you're nothing but a pile of dirt with some water holding you together. And by the way, where do we get off comparing our dirt with somebody else's dirt?
Amen.
We're all made out of dirt. Dirt's still dirty. Doesn't matter whose dirt it is.
Amen.
Why don't we just accept the fact we're all sinners?
Amen, sir.
Period. The ground's level at the cross. Now, he takes our sin away for eternity, but may I say this, we still got to deal with it down here. So, you're only a child of God when you get saved. The moment you realize you're a sinner, on your way to hell, and that Jesus paid the price for you, the moment you trust him to take your sin away, guess what? You're born again.
Amen.
I mean, it's instantaneous. Can I tell you something? Babies need time to grow.
Right.
Quit getting upset with new Christians. Quit getting upset with Christians that have been away from church and haven't been growing. Say, well, they ought to know better. Okay, there was a day when you should have known better, and maybe you should have grown to the point where you wouldn't make a statement like that. You should know better.
Amen.
Number three. Jesus places a huge importance on the local church. Why? Because the local church is the local family. Now listen to me very carefully here. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, don't turn there. Jesus said to his disciples, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Ooh, not the church. My church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That means this: it was Christ's church, not anybody else's. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 22, the Bible says this. There we go. "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Speaking of Jesus. "Which is his body, and the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 23. We were in Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 is about husbands and wives loving each other. It's about marriage, which is about the family, correct?
Amen.
All right. Notice it didn't say two husbands or two wives.
Amen.
Or two don't know what they are. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." May I say this? God says that our marriage is in direct proportion to how we treat the church and vice versa. No wonder more than 50% of marriages in America break up in divorce, because half the people don't even go to church.
That's right.
You say, why? Because it is a picture. Marriage is a picture of our relationship with God. Look, don't get mad at me. Look at verse 29, Ephesians 5, verse 29. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." He's talking about Jesus here. He paid for the church with his blood. He gave his life for the church. He died for the church. He paid for it with his blood. And he said, "I want you to build your families based off the picture of me leading the church." "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's just like marriage. It's forever. For better, for worse. For rich, for poor. Or in my case, for poor and for poorer. In sickness and in health. Sounds like Christ for the church, doesn't it? You see, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, let me turn there here real quick. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 23. The Bible says this: "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments." And that's not the right verse. I'm in chapter 11. Let's try chapter 12, verse 23. I knew it didn't sound right when I started it, but I already started. Just proves I'm not perfect. Amen. Chapter 12, verse 23. "To the general assembly and the church." Notice there's a difference. There is a general assembly and there's a church. A church is not just an assembly. It's a called out assembly. "And the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits," small s, "of just men made perfect." Ooh. That's talking about the church. You see, a church is made up of just spirits, justified spirits, people who are saved. A general assembly may have people that are not saved. And God gave justification to this Christian. That's what takes place at salvation. It is just as if you had never sinned. The word justify means to put in line. If you have a computer and you know much about computers, you can left justify or left right justify. You can do all kinds of things. What's it do? It puts it in line. When you got saved, we line up with Christ and our sin is put under the blood, and it is just as if we had never sinned in God's eyes. You see, Jesus knew that we needed a spiritual family to keep our earthly family functioning right.
Amen.
I believe every human ought to be a member of an independent, fundamental, temperamental, gospel-preaching church.
Yes,
say why? Because it'll keep your family right.
That's right.
You have a better chance of keeping your family right with right preaching and right doctrine than any other thing, I promise you.
Amen.
That's not a guarantee. Because we're all sinners.
That's right.
And guess what? Look around, there's going to be sinners in the church. right there, second row, first chair. Can I tell you something? We're all sinners. It should not shock us when somebody in the church does something wrong.
That's right.
Well, I heard about so-and-so. First of all, you shouldn't have been listening to it.
Amen.
Second of all, you shouldn't be talking about it. Third of all, well, what are you going to do about it, preacher? Are you going to make them get up and tell the church all the bad they did? Sure, right after you come up here and tell everybody all the wrong you've done. Who made you the judge of sin? Everybody doing okay? Well, I know somebody in your church that's been divorced. I know a lot of them. You know, there's only two things a divorced person can't do. Be a deacon and be a pastor. Everything else in Scripture is wide open to anybody. Everything, preacher? Everything. I challenge you. Find it in Scripture. Oh, I know preachers out there say, well, if you've been divorced, you shouldn't even be a member of a church. They're idiots.
Amen.
Those are people that are looking for perfect people. Guess what? They don't even qualify. Well, I know somebody that has fallen from grace. Yeah, did you look in the mirror? All of us have done that. But thank God his grace never is never ending. His grace never gives out. In other words, you messed up. Okay, get back up on your feet, dust yourself off, come on back, it's okay. That door swings wide open for anybody. I've said this for 8 years. If that door opens up and my worst enemy walks through that door, I'll reach out my hand, shake their hand, and say, glad they're here. That doesn't mean they're going to teach Sunday school next week. That doesn't mean they could never teach Sunday school either. Everybody doing okay? There has to be a proving time. But to you, if they hate you, they should go to the booger man where they belong. Well, if they're saved, we ought to restore them.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5 says, if somebody has fallen, those of us which are spiritual should restore such an one. This church is a hospital, not a museum. May I say this? Most churches are like museums. They have a history of what was, but they don't do anything with it. We're to be here to heal people up spiritually. Get them on their feet. Patch them up. Get them saved. Man, there ought to be new births all the time around here. Thank God in 8 years there hasn't been a 7-day period go by where Grace Baptist Church hasn't seen somebody birthed.
Amen.
I mean spiritually. Now we got two about to pop right now, but may I say this? I'm glad for all the births, physically and spiritually. We're just keeping them to spiritual in my house. No more babies, all right? Not happening. You see, people today still have the religion of the temple, not the church. Religion has mimicked the temple. Jesus said to the Jews, we'll do away with the temple and I'll raise it up again the third day. They said, you are a heretic and you're guilty of bad doctrine. He said, no, the temple's done away. I did away with the temple because I fulfilled all of the temple. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, not the temple. The temple was done away with. Notice Jesus didn't say, no, I'm not going to do away with it. He said, no, we're doing away with it. And when I come up out of the grave, it'll be the time for the church. Watch this. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God?
Amen.
We are not to have the priesthood. I'm not a priest.
Amen.
Thank God. We're not supposed to follow the ways of the temple. The Old Testament sacrifices and the phylacteries and the dress of the day and different things. Those were all done away with because Jesus fulfilled all those things. That's why it says when he died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. God said, it's over.
Yes, sir.
That's why Jesus started the church, not another temple.
Amen.
So therefore, by the way, if he is our example, guess what? Don't you think if he started the church, he would want us to join the church? Jesus wants us part of a local family so we can stay encouraged and live among the children of God while we have to work amongst the children of the devil. You can't stop interacting with other people. This isn't some cult.
Amen.
We're not going to build a compound.
Amen.
And never leave the confines of the compound. Okay, those people are a little weird. It is to be a called out assembly. That means this: we come out of the world, meet together, and we get stronger because we've been together, because we have to go back out in the world. By the way, isn't that what happens in your family? You come together every evening after you've been out at school or at work or wherever you've been that day, to the store, God help you, wherever you've been, and you come back together and gather as a family. By the way, there was a time when people did gather as a family every day.
Right.
I make sure my family, as busy as we were, we ate one meal together at least every day. My wife and I eat at least one meal together every day, no matter how busy we are. You say, why? Because we are to be together.
Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff. We're to come apart from the world in a place where God matters.
Right.
You walk outside the confines of this property and God doesn't matter too much. You'll see people mowing the grass on the way home today.
Yep.
It's just another day. But it's not if you're a child of God. We got to go to God's house and meet with God. The church is not to be like the world in any way. It's supposed to be like the Bible. I'm going to throw a fit for a second. I am sick and tired of churches that look like the world.
Amen.
We are not to have the music of the world to attract the world.
Right.
You don't use the devil's music to portray God's message. God's message has a certain music. Sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart as to the Lord. Not jamming for Jesus.
Amen.
Not rocking around the Christmas tree.
Amen.
That's a bunch of filth and vile garbage. And quit calling yourself a church if you're having the world as your standard.
Amen.
May I say something? We're not supposed to use the world's methods.
Right.
I get a little tired of the techno churches of today. You know, follow the bouncy ball. Put all your pretty outlines on a screen and everybody can follow the screen. That's why churches aren't even opening back up after COVID.
That's right.
By the way, nobody ever closed them down except the pastors.
That's right.
The government didn't. Governor made it very clear. Churches, I didn't close churches down. They closed themselves down. We didn't close down.
Amen.
I had to go get my eyes looked at this week. I walked into the eye place at Walmart in Charlestown, and the lady said, well, do you have a mask? I said, nope. She said, well, why not? I said, do you have one? She said, yes. I said, then why are you worried about me having one?
True.
She said, well, you'll have to have one. You'll be too close to the doctor. So she handed me a mask. I didn't put it on. I walked back. I sat down. The lady had to do the, you know, blow the stuff in your eyeball and do all the other stuff. And I still didn't put it on. We were talking, having a good time. I went back, sat down. Doctor came out. Not my first time there. He says, "Oh, Pastor, come on back." I went back, still had the stupid mask in my hand. He closes the door. He said, "No mask, huh?" I said, he said, "Good." I said, "Well, you can take yours off if you want." He said, "I'll forget about it, and then I'm in trouble." He said, "How's the church doing?" I said, "Good. I stayed open through all of this." He said, "Good. I have two other practices other than here, and I stayed open in those two practices too. Good for you." He and I were having a good time being rebels. Can I tell you something? That stupid mask isn't going to fix nothing. If it was really stopping something, you would have to put it in a biological disposal place.
Yep.
You're getting sicker by breathing through that thing than anything. When they first started coming out with it, they said we have to have compliance. That is a fascist term. Just so you know. That's what your government's looking for. The church is not supposed to have the world's methods, the world's music, or the world's message. We're not supposed to be like Joel Osteen.
Amen.
Come to my house. I don't have a multi-million dollar palace. My house is as modest as virtually every person in this room, I promise you. I make sure of that. I've got to finish number four. This is supposed to be the Grace Baptist family.
Amen.
May I say something? How about you join the family?
Yes.
Be part of the family. Let's help the family grow. You know, I'm glad as my children have left home, my family's growing. I got two more kids. Got Ruth Ann and got the toe-headed idiot. I'm Michael, down in Georgia with Mindy. You say, what's that all about? As our family grows, we get more members. And by the way, our church family is our family. You see, that means this. We ought to invite people to church. We ought to go knock on doors and win people to Christ. We ought to tell folks about Jesus and get them born into the family of God. May I say something? We ought to support the family. If you're going to be a part of the family, you ought to pull your weight a little bit. I believe that you ought to obey God with your tithing. Yes, I do. But I think you ought to obey God and show up for meetings when we have them. No sense in being a part of the family and not showing up. Everybody doing all right? I love you. Be here for the services and activities and different things that we do. How about you be here to care for those that don't have any other family? Let's take part of caring for his work. Buildings need clean. Nurseries need watched. God knows no man ought to ever watch a nursery. There'll be no babies left. We'll kill them all. And I am not changing anybody's diaper. I think that we ought to help with the music and the choir and step up when it's time to step up. And there's things that need done. Let's jump in and make things happen. Just like a family, when something needs done, we jump in and help each other.
Amen.
Let's support one another while we're here, not talk negative about them.
Amen.
Do me a favor. If you have a long tongue, this altar is big enough. Lay it out of here. We'll cut it off. You have no business talking about somebody else's problems or sin. You got enough on your own plate. Let's not talk about somebody else's.
Amen.
I'm not part of this click thing.
Amen.
We're not going to have us four no more, and we'll build a power within the church. Gag. There's no big shots here. You know what a big shot is? It's a little shot that keeps on shooting.
Amen.
There's no power hierarchy here. We're all servants and children of God.
Right.
Let's act that way. Say, why? Because someday you're going to need them. If you're there so somebody needs you, the day when it comes when you need somebody, there'll be people there to help you.
Amen.
That's what the church is all about. Thanksgiving's on the way. I'm excited this year. We're going to do something different. For anybody that doesn't have family, we're going to open up the church that day, and you can just have Thanksgiving here at church. For those of you that don't have family, say, what is it? Grace Baptist Family Thanksgiving. Amen. We'll just open up the church. We'll try to organize it a little bit, but y'all bring food and just show up and eat till you fall asleep or pass out, one or the other. It matters not. And if you have family that you have in and you don't want to show up, that's fine. You don't have to be a part of it, but we're going to open it up to those in our church that don't have any other family to go to. And they can have Grace Baptist Thanksgiving together. Can I tell you something? Isn't that what it's supposed to be like anyway?
Amen.
It's not a country club. It's not a social standing. It's not an elite status. No, we're a family pulling together, trying to get the strength and encouragement we need. If you've never been saved, how about you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and become part of His family? If you've been saved, never baptized, we can baptize you right into the Grace Baptist Church family. If you've been saved and baptized and not a member, how about you join the family today? Become a part of it. Grace Baptist Family. God talks about the family that was named in heaven and in earth. And the church is the family of God, a local assembly, a local family together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, God got a hold of something in my life. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. How about we decide we'll be part of the family? If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of that today. If you've never been saved, come forward. We'll take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure. Maybe you need to join the church. You can come. Maybe you just want to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar and get your standing right in the family. It's open for you today.